But the way that this one was worded even was like, catch grandpa's cookies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There was something weird. And then at the end, it was like, grandpa's proud of you for catching his cookies.
No.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is episode 179, and this is definitely the first time we've tried to do this today.
Yeah, first time.
The first news of the next generation of consoles has been released. I don't know if you guys have heard yet.
I've heard some rumblings.
There's an unnamed console that will replace the PlayStation 4. Any guesses on what the name of the new console is going to be?
They haven't officially called it the PS5 yet?
They have not.
I mean,
specifically said it's unnamed, which why?
PlayStation X. 720? I mean, I don't know.
1080p?
Yeah.
The PlayStation 420. CPU, the graphics card, the memory, and the hard drive will all be bigger, better, faster, stronger, harder. And none of that is a surprise because, of course, they're going to get better and better with each iteration. There's only a couple of notable things that they've shared so far. One is that the console will still accept physical media, so it's not going to be download only.
That's actually good news, I think. It's very good news.
Number two, it will support PS4 backwards compatibility.
Good call.
Three, the hard drive for the first time, I believe, will be solid state instead of like a physical spinning disc.
Very nice.
That's the best out of all of those.
That's by far the best.
Great.
Download speeds are going to be what? Not download speeds, excuse me. Like transition speeds,
like loads
between
on things.
Yeah, load screens. And then finally, there's no date set yet, but it's definitely not going to be in 2019.
Which I think is fair. I mean, it's going to be a really significant jump for them.
It is. It feels a little soon since the last one, anyways. Mm-hmm. I know, like,
really?
That feels about right to me.
Maybe I'm
I feel
old
like
and
it's
slow.
Been a while. When was PS4?
I don't know. Maybe
7 years ago. 8 years
Switch
ago.
Switch filled that gap. I don't know. Or maybe I just am old and time
I think last generation
fast.
Has been a while.
Has it?
It's okay. Like 8 years.
Well, then, either way, I'll say 2020 is a good year for them to drop it if it's not happening in 2019.
2020 is a good year to drop anything. If you've got something on your mind, 2020 is right around the corner. So you better get ready.
So drop it in 2020.
My mixtape?
Out of all of those, the thing that you think is most interesting or that you're most excited for, I know Nolan, I think, or one of you or both of you maybe even said the solid state drive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for a home console, that's like got to be the standard now because it's been around. But the backwards compatibility thing, it's like great and good, but they're definitely going to try to do that like game streaming service too. And try to play that up as backwards compatibility. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like all of those things, right? That it's going to be a better system, you can still do physical media, that solid state drive for sure. The backwards compatibility is very cool because it's going to allow people that have PlayStation and have been big PlayStation guys for a while to be able to play mini games.
Yeah.
Mini games. Like in our retro game of the week, Rugrats, Totally Angelica.
Overview.
In 1991, Nickelodeon released an animated TV show for kids about kids called Rugrats.
By kids, for kids.
For kids, by kids.
By kids, for kids.
Oh no, either way, right? I was a fan. I watched it.
Me too.
I would have been a little. You watched it too, Nolan?
Yeah, a lot.
Kenny, it was before your time? I mean, after your time?
A little bit. Like, it was around, but I was just like, pfft.
You were too
those
cool.
Little, those little Rugrats.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if anything else was coming.
You thought it was a baby show?
It was slow and coming. I loved the show as a kid. I specifically loved the little babies, right? Tommy and Chucky and the twins, Phil and Lil, especially Reptar.
Yeah,
but there was one character that was created for every kid watching the show to absolutely hate. She was the antagonist of the entire series, and her name was Angelica Pickles.
The older sister.
Older sisters are the worst.
Even her name, though, right? Angelica Pickles. Like, now, is she the older sister or the cousin, guys? I think she's
older
the
sister
cousin.
Of Tommy.
She is?
Yeah.
I don't recall. I'm not well-versed in Rugrats lore. Sorry.
Okay. So, Nolan, you for sure know this, right? So
I for sure know
here?
This because right now I'm reading the thing, and okay. She's also the cousin of Tommy and Dill Pickles.
Wait. So that sounds awesome.
Move on, please.
She's hated in the series. She's not nice. She's really mean. She says some terrible things. She's always whining. No one likes her.
Like total brat.
Totally. But in 2000, someone thought it would be a good idea to make a video game based in the Rugrats universe where the main character that you are playing is none other than Angelica.
Yeah, what's up with that? Like, make it about Tommy.
Make it about anyone. But
yeah, I was so upset about the direction. Like, here's the thing. I get that there was this whole, we have to also make video games for girls thing going on. Like,
yeah,
that's
sure.
Mary-Kate.
I don't.
That's sort of
I
this
actually
era.
Don't.
Oh, but. I mean, I also, like, I don't like that. But I get the thinking. Like, why someone would be like, let's make girl games. But when you
thinking,
do that,
No. The thinking is that then all the other games are for boys?
No, exactly. I totally agree that it's silly. But, I'm just saying, I get that people would think that, right or wrong. But
yeah,
if you're even
right.
thinking that, why would you make the protagonist, like, the worst person in the world?
Yeah, no one can relate to Angelica. That's the problem. Like, no one wants to be her that watches the show. So it's like almost like a spoof game.
Yeah, I don't know what it was. And then on top of that, it comes out first for the Game Boy Color. So we're talking handheld. And
this,
then a
so
year,
this one actually came first.
The chicken or the egg?
Well, I mean,
say egg.
I don't know.
It's definitely. No, it's definitely chicken. But anyways, the Game Boy Color came first in the year 2000. A year later, 2001, it came out on the PlayStation. Updated question mark graphics. Some updated question mark gameplay. But it fundamentally the same game.
Weird that it was a year later. Usually the ports happen pretty soon. Maybe.
Well, it was the last Rugrats game to be made for either system. I don't know if that's a sign of how bad the game was or that we are at the end of the era for both of those.
Yeah, we were getting towards the end. And also the show was dying out.
Yeah,
I
mean, this was what? So it came out in 91. So we're talking about 10 years after the fact.
Right.
I'll go ahead and say spoiler alert. It was also that bad of a game.
Spoiler alert.
Speak
you're not supposed
yourself.
To know, listeners, whether or not this game's good or bad, even though it's called Rugrats Totally Angelica. So there's not really a plot to speak of, and I don't want to take away from the sure-to-be-glorious gameplay section that is soon to follow, but the premise of this game is to do various mini-games, a la Mary-Kate and Ashley Magical Mystery Mall. I know we've already mentioned it. We might refer to it a couple times. One, because
several.
this game is aimed for young girls. Two, this game is about shopping, whether or not it's in a Magical Mystery Mall. And then three, there's a fashion show. So,
right, it basically is exactly the same game, just tailored for a younger audience.
Yes, yes.
Like,
I mean,
yeah, if your tween older sister is playing Mary-Kate, like, you give this to your little elementary age girl.
I had PTSD playing this.
You play as Angelica, where you go through this magical mystery mall and you collect outfit pieces as rewards for winning various mini games. And then you put on those different clothing pieces or makeup or fingernail polish or whatever it is. And then you earn high scores in a fashion show that is voted on by the babies that hate you. And you do that over and over and over again, playing the same mini games, a couple of new ones here and there, until you get to the next floor, and then you rinse and repeat. You do the exact same thing until you get enough points. You win the fashion show. You go to the next floor and do it again and again and again.
All right. Aged section?
Wait, no, we can't just skip to the very end.
So this is also make-believe, right? This is happening in her mind.
I know, this is
real. We need to point that out.
Is that what you're...
Because she gets mad at one point, and she gets mad at Tommy, or the narrator, which I'm pretty sure is Tommy's voice, for like, she's like, this is my dream. Get out of here, or something like that.
Interesting. Did you play the PlayStation game?
He played the PlayStation game.
Weird.
Wait, weren't we supposed to?
No.
Yeah, so here, I'm at an interesting place, because I'm hearing both of you talk, and my week was this. I started playing the PlayStation game, and then realized partway through that we were supposed to play Game Boy Color. I thought they were like direct port. And so, like, I got to see both, and I will say that Nolan probably played the better game, if you can believe that, Nolan.
Okay, sorry, guys. I played PlayStation 1.
Normally a port is close enough. Dustin, you said they're virtually the same game, and they're the same game-ish in, like, how they work, but they really are a little bit different. The minigames, a few of them are totally different, though some of them are the same. There's a little bit more story set up in the PlayStation 1 and, like, more graphics. But it's the premise is totally the same. I don't think we'll have a hard time talking about the game, even having played two different ones, because they're both equally bad and for similar reasons.
Well, I don't know if this has happened before, but we're going to find out if what you're saying is true, Kenny, as we go into the gameplay section and talk about two different games.
Gameplay.
In the Game Boy Color version of this game, there are five floors with stores that have mini games inside.
Okay.
Nolan,
I played the same game.
Okay.
Yep, that's comparable.
On the first floor, you've got stores like Phil's Fashions, Susie's Shoes, and Lil's Lipsticks.
That's cute. Mine were named other things than that. They didn't go off the kids' names.
Okay. Once you go inside these stores, you play... sorry, I just remembered one, and I inadvertently laughed very awkwardly.
That was the funniest laugh you've ever done.
Because I just remembered Grandpa's Cookies.
I think you basically just became a Rugrat for just a second.
No, I had a Grandpa one too, but it was better than Cookie Catching.
Oh, wait.
I mean, I had Cookie Catching too, but it wasn't like Grandpa's.
It was the way that this one was worded even was like catch Grandpa's cookies.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. There was something weird. And then at the end, it was like Grandpa's proud of you for catching his cookies.
No.
Yeah, it's super awkward. There.
My grandpa game was called, I don't even remember what it was called, but you sneak past Grandpa while he's asleep in the living room in a cardboard box. And when he like wakes up real quick, you have to stop moving.
It was a stealth game. Yeah. That's not bad. When you get onto some other games, so there's different mini games, and we probably won't talk about all of them. It wouldn't be too hard because, in my game, there's only like four or five or something like that.
There are so many in PlayStation.
The ones that I remember, you catch Grandpa's cookies, you do this dumb maze with a yarn ball that we can talk about.
That one's in both of them, and it's terrible.
You've got one where with Chucky, it's just a memory game where there's colors and he tells you the colors and you have to pick them at the same. And then there's another one where this puzzle game, not puzzle game, but it's where those pieces are out of order and you can only move one at a time.
Yeah, you have to slide them or whatever.
Yeah, the sliding puzzle pieces. And then you've got, what else do you got?
I had a frog catching game with Phil and Lillian.
Lillian, that's her full name.
Frogs jump out of the ground and you catch them and put them in buckets.
There was a similar one here. You had to catch worms or bugs, not frogs, but same thing. Oh, and then there was another one where two cards flipped over at the same time. And if they match, you press A. And if they don't match, you don't press. Yeah, memory game.
So same game. We played the same game.
Pretty close. A couple of unique things. Like, Nolan, you had the girl that had three parts that you had to like memorize her outfit.
Yeah, Cynthia, the Cynthia doll.
Yeah, that one doesn't make it to the other. That became the sliding, you know, puzzle game. You also had, like, a follow the leader game that I don't think made it over. But, like, generally, they're all really basic, like, kid-friendly, completely uninspired minigames.
And very minimal controls on all of them. Like, either one button on certain ones, on most of them, or just directional buttons on others. It was just like an extremely simple game to play, like noticeably so. So it was definitely made for, I think last time for Mystery Mall, we were like, was this game made for young girls or older people? But this one's clearly made for a 2-year-old.
Well, and that's same for the Game Boy Color version, because there's literally a mini game where it's easier to not pay attention and just press A over and over and over and over and over again.
It was the
maze one where the yarn ball is slowly rolling around the screen. I think you have 6 minutes to complete it. It's got a timer. It literally takes, if you don't mess up at all, it takes 3 minutes to finish the game.
Yeah, it's so
and
long.
It's the idea is this yarn ball is rolling around in this maze and you've got plungers. And once the yarn ball passes a plunger that you can press A and it activates the plunger, hitting it the correct direction that it needs to continue. You can't get lost in the maze. You can only get set back if like the yarn ball is hit back the opposite direction. And so you literally, what I found out quickly after playing it my first or second time is that I just stopped paying attention, tapped A, and then 3 minutes later came back and was at the end. And it's
That's so bad.
It's terrible because you have to keep pressing A. So like you have to be in the game. It already takes 3 minutes on its own. And you have to play the game not once, not twice, but multiple times throughout the duration of your play.
Yeah, that's the worst. Here's the thing. I'm not fundamentally opposed to a game that's basically mini games. It's not always easy to sell. I would rather it be like a tack on to a real game, but like mini games have their place. But when you do it in a way that feels lazy, and I get part of it is like, kids, your audience, not a huge attention span, whatever. But when you only have like a tiny selection of games and to progress, you have to play them again and again and again. It just gets old really, really fast.
Did you guys get rewards at least, like the shoes?
Oh, we got rewards.
We got rewards. I mean, you have to put them on for the fashion show so you get the points to go to the next level.
Right.
And so some of them are absolutely horrendous. Actually, all of them are absolutely horrendous.
They're terrible. They're terrible on both, but the Game Boy Color ones are especially bad.
Depending on which mini game you did or which store you went into, you get a prize at the end and you get to pick which one. So like on some of them, you get to pick a wig for Angelica to wear. Another one, you get to pick like blush color or earrings. And then some of them, you get to pick your dress or your shoes. And yeah, like the majority of them are absolutely bad that no kid would ever want to be in. And in the Game Boy Color version, I don't think that it even takes into consideration what outfit you're wearing when you go to that fashion contest or how good it actually looks. I just threw on the most random things and it didn't matter what I was wearing, good or bad. I would get just the most random point values from each of the kids.
Yeah, I didn't have a sense of whether that was related or not either. I didn't play enough of this game to follow those correlations, but it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't just like, you get low values, and then after you do enough things or have unlocked enough accessories, then you just are going to get higher values so you can progress. But it's actually has nothing to do with the things you choose fashion-wise. I would assume that's the case.
It did have all of, well, maybe not all, but a lot of references from the show. So you have Reptar, like on the third, I think the third or fourth floor on the PS1 version, there's just like a Reptar display. So it's got that kind of stuff. It's got some of the other characters, like I don't know their names, but there are other babies that they introduced to the show that I wasn't watching at the time. It's got Grandpa. So it's got plenty of the, and also something that I noticed, there's some detail in there where you're in the backyard. I think it was the frog catching game and it shows the neighbor's house. And I didn't know my brain did this, but I remember that house. It was like the pink square house with these wood things sticking out. They replicated it perfectly, so I appreciated the detail there.
I'm glad that you found something to appreciate because
I mean,
it's not only that you had to play the mini games. Again, Kenny, I can probably agree with you that there could be a fun game, especially on a handheld device, that is comprised of mini games. I think that could be done, and I'm
sure
it
has.
It's
called WarioWare Incorporated, and it's very fun, yes.
Okay. And I think that it can be done. But the thing that happened here and that I've seen happen with a lot of these mini game games is that it, one, the mini games aren't good to begin with.
Right.
And then two, the to play the bad mini games, not just once, but multiple times is bad. So each of the new floors of this mall or wherever she was inside of her mind, fictitious in the PlayStation or real in the Game Boy Color, I don't know, are pretty much identical to the previous floor. You might get a new mini game or a slight change. I almost said upgrade, but not even that. A slight change to a mini game that you did previously. But for all intents and purposes, they're the same mini
game. It's a memory game. It's a timing game. You know, it's a matching
game. None of them are good. Not one of them are good. are there any on the PlayStation version, or Kenny, you got a little taste of both, that is passable to either of you? Because in Mary-Kate and Ashley Magical Mystery Mall, I still remember the one where they're putting together, or like they're waiters, you know, they're serving the hamburgers and the shakes and the drinks.
It at least made you make some choices and stay on your feet. And like, if you wanted to succeed at it, you had to try and... Yeah,
Kenny never got a hold of, or like got a grasp on, the boy stalking one in Mary-Kate and Ashley Magical Mystery Mall.
But to answer your question, this game, the sneaking by grandpa one was actually kind of fun.
Which that is the only one, I guess, that didn't make it to the Game Boy Color.
Which is weird. But other than that, no.
Yeah, I would just say they're all terrible. I agree, sneaky grandpa's a nice change of pace. Like,
no,
you didn't even get... You didn't. I don't think there's a hide and seek one in the PlayStation that literally is just like emulate movements that the other character does, and you have to push a couple of buttons. Like, if anything, they made more of them, but they made them just as terrible or worse, if that's possible.
Yeah, I didn't do a first play this week. Well, technically, I kind of did. I did a live stream this week, and I went on thinking, okay, it's a Game Boy Color game. It's called Rugrats Totally Angelica. I'll be able to play this game live. Like, I'll go through the entire game. So I sat down live, and now it's on our YouTube channel. You can go and watch it, to say I'm going to play through this game tonight. Easy, right? And 2 hours later, an hour and a half later, I don't remember how long it was, I was like, I was on the third, or I went in the elevator from the second to the third floor and realized that it still wasn't done. And then someone in chat was like, you're not going to want to know how many floors there are. And then I was like, all right, guys, thanks for coming and hanging out on this live stream. We'll see
you
later.
Just depressed, like defeated. Yeah.
Because nothing's changing. You're doing the same thing, and the same thing is a bad same thing. I always play video games with music, and I just turn the music off to this and put on some different music and blindly play this game just to try to beat it. Because to get the amount of points that you need to go to the next floor, you might be stuck on a level playing the same three mini games for 30 minutes. And that's not what a game is. And that's definitely not what a fun game is.
There's something to be said on some level of, if you're making a game literally for like small children, it can't be overly complex, and they probably crave that repetition. But I thankfully don't remember what it's like to be a toddler.
You don't?
And I don't ever plan to know what that's like, and I don't really care to know what that's like. And so I don't know. Maybe they did an okay job, but I'm just not the target audience, or maybe it was also really bad. I have a sneaking suspicion it's the latter.
Sneaky grandpa suspicion?
A sneak fast grandpa.
Totally.
Aged.
Dustin, you already mentioned it a little bit, getting your horse and your cart all out of order.
Gross.
Messing up our episode, but you turned your music off. Nolan, I feel like the PlayStation music was better than Game Boy Color music. I know it was. Talk to me about music as a starting point, I guess.
I mean, terrible. Terrible.
Do you mean really good?
No, I mean, first of all, I remember the theme song of Rugrats. But so what? Like, that's... there's no point in trying to replicate any kind of like song in this game. And the one that was in the game was extremely, like, I felt the need to also turn it off. So just bad. Like, well, at least
you, the way that you even described it sounds better than what we got. Like, we,
probably
by we, me, I, it's kind of this piercing, repetitive, redundant
Game Boy music,
not any kind of like connection to the show. As far as I could tell, it was bad, but this game was bad. Like, it's one of those we've had them before that it was just bad to begin with. So it's not that it ages poorly, it's that it started poorly. And yeah. So the music was bad to begin with. It's still bad now. We can talk about the graphic. Yeah.
Before we go to graphics, did have voiceovers. So that's how you knew I played the PlayStation version, I think.
Right. But I've heard, I read that the voiceovers are not good.
Oh, no. I don't think it's the original people.
No, probably not.
But the person that got to play Tommy kind of sounds like the original, but the original sounds super annoying anyways. It was, they didn't even need voiceovers is what I'm trying to say, but they had them. Whatever.
The funniest part is that there are places where, like, Angelica's speaking. Like, it's literally voiceover stuff. And I know it's PlayStation, but they did such a terrible job of lining up the animation of her mouth moving with the voice.
Oh,
like,
well, yeah.
Almost like they were parodying themselves. It was so bad. Like, it was really, really terrible. And that was like the intro scene before the game even started. And that's where I went from, oh, this is an interesting IP. If they were creative with this, it could actually be kind of fun, even in a sort of like, you know, like weirdly nostalgic, simple little kiddie kind of way as a game, to immediately going, whoever made this game cared zero about the quality or how it looked or anything, and this is going to be a steaming pile. And it turned out to be the correct indicator of how the game went.
Let's talk about graphics, because that's right. What I've been most interested in talking about, or at least hearing about, since I knew that you played the PlayStation version. Because just a game that comes out a year later that mm-hmm. is on a console rather than a handheld, that doesn't necessarily mean that it is better graphics. Like, I've seen bad PlayStation graphics, and so I'd like to hear that from you. Like, are they good, or are they decent at least? Are they passable, or do they look like big, blobby, blocky messes?
It doesn't mean you're going to always get better, but it does mean you're going to get very different. And it reminds me so much of Magical Mystery Mall in every way, because you have the blocky, terrible renditions of the characters mixed in with like actual photos, like screenshots of the babies on the load screen that looks like the cartoon, like really good quality, but then goes back to crap renders. And so I don't even think that y'all got the short end of the stick on graphics. I think we're equal in that they were probably both really bad.
See, though I thought that the like animated parts where the vocals were off and some of that was super poor, like it was ugly. They made Angelica look awful, but again, that's like PlayStation 1 and somebody that I don't think even really cared, and so that wasn't a surprise. I did think that once you got into the like fictional mall world, I kind of liked what they did a little bit with it on PlayStation, where like instead of sort of walking to the shops,
it's like
sort
a circle.
Of the whole thing kind of rotates, and it
yeah,
was
I like
real,
that too.
It was real kind of like cartoony style, and it, I mean, it wasn't like Rugrats perfect or quality, but it sort of fit that tone.
You're
whereas
right,
the Game Boy
right.
Color one is real just like blocky and square and boring. I appreciated what they at least tried to do with the art on the PlayStation one. But the like the visuals, the cutscenes or whatever you call them are terrible, terrible.
I think Angelica's character model is fine, is okay, but the majority of the game's awful. A lot of the backgrounds are just like solid colors, literally no kind of like
anything, no, like, texture like, or anything.
Yeah, no texture or anything. And then some of the like UI, or like when there's text screens that are explaining the game, or even the whole when you're about to go into the fashion show and you're picking kind of what your outfit pieces are going to be, all of that was literally made in paint. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know about literally, but
it looks like that. Yeah,
it was.
I could do better, yeah, with paint or with my eyes closed, like I played the majority of this game.
Right. You know, these games still exist. I think that these games, don't live on the console anymore. They're on phones, and they're for parents to give to their kids. This is real, because this game reminds me so much of what I see kids playing at restaurants, like really crappy looking games that are repetitive, that are brightly colored, and they just got moved to the mobile platform, but they're real.
That's a really depressing thing to talk about, though, and I don't want to. Read your kid a book, everybody. That's all I'm going to say.
Or have them play retro games like Rugrats. Totally enjoy.
They'll learn so much about MS Paint.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status. It's our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Requires 2/3. I feel like I can skip this part today.
Yeah, you
can. So I'll start.
Can I just propose this? It's pretty clear we all dislike this game.
Right.
I think the more interesting question, and again, like if you disagree with me, sure, give it your vote for New Game Plus we'll make fun of you. But like, I think the more interesting question is this the worst game that we've played on the show? Period.
No.
I think that's always a tough question. I've been asked it multiple times, right? And it's a fun like mental exercise, but that's hard. It's a hard question to answer, not just because of the variety of bad games we played, but because some of the games that we played, in my opinion, are not even games. You know, like we played a terrible typing quote unquote game. We played a terrible, like we played some games that are hard to even call games. And so that makes it difficult for me.
I don't think it's the worst.
Kenny, what are your general thoughts with that? Without giving it too much.
No, I'd agree. Like there've been lots of bad ones, and so it's hard. I was just going to propose, and I'd have to think about it more. We have had some really really bad ones. I was going to propose that this week I at least felt like it was probably the worst one we'd played. Because I don't know, it's repetitive, so like that's terrible, but it's also like relatively short. Once you realize it's repetitive, you've got to do some of that to progress, but it's kind of like, okay, I'll get through this and then whatever. I don't know. I'm with you. It's a really hard question. I think this is probably the worst game we've played yet though.
I don't know. It's hard when we played a game that is a PSA for smoking. If you remember Rex Ronin,
I forgot about Rex.
Yeah. Like we've played E.T., of course. We've played, which was wonderful, by the way. We've played...
At least E.T. was Atari. Like, it's got an out.
Even recently, The Wizard of Oz was just awful, in my opinion.
Look, do y'all give it New Game Plus or not?
Oh,
Don't, and Kenny doesn't, and Nolan?
No, but there is one redeeming quality that made me laugh for a while this week. Okay. When you're getting judged at the fashion show, you said that all the other characters, like the babies who don't like you, judge you, and so does the cat on the PlayStation version.
The cat
is judging you too. Does
on the Game Boy Color version, Reptar is a judge as well.
Okay, so I had Grandpa and the cat, which I thought was funny, but this game is garbage. Can we just move on?
Yes. Rugrats Totally Angelica is not, of course, not New Game Plus certified.
Did anyone even write in?
Yes, we actually did have a couple write in. Carl wrote in and he said this game had it all. Story, design, music, and character development.
So
is
good.
What I would have said if we were still playing Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah.
This game, however, was a dumpster fire. I tried and tried to get past level 1 and couldn't. No idea at all what to do, and I didn't want to bother looking up a guide for it. I played a decent amount of Game Boy Color as a kid and thought this might be okay because I enjoyed Search for Reptar on PlayStation 1. Plus, I loved Rugrats, but it officially became the worst Game Boy Color game I've ever played. But nonetheless, I gave it a special NGP this week, which stood for, nope, gonna pass.
Ooh, I like that. I might have to use that one myself.
That is really good. I think I could probably agree with Carl on the fact that it's probably the worst Game Boy Color game. It's by far the worst Game Boy Color game I've ever played. Maybe the worst Game Boy Color game, period.
I'm sorry I played the PS1 version. I didn't look at Discord this week much, admittedly.
Well, tell it to Carl.
Sorry, Carl.
Antonin wrote in and said, this game could be good. Honestly, I mean it. It has mini games, but not enough variety, and playing the same mini game over and over gets tiring, especially since the gaming experience doesn't vary much during replays. However, there is a good deal of choice when it comes to clothes, makeup, and accessories, which was a pleasant surprise. So, I imagine a world where Angelica plays many more mini games and where she gets to express her creativity in a full manner. If you like fashion, if you like dressing up and matching clothes and obtaining those clothes as a result of minigames, my closest recommendation would be The Sims. Sims offers a huge variety of yeah. clothes, makeup, accessories, tattoos, piercings, and everything else. If you pick one of the consoles, one of the console sim releases, you'll even get minigames. Unfortunately, there are no fashion judges as far as I know.
Look, Sims, wait, I don't need, I almost have a problem with him recommending Sims with the conversation like, starting with this
even
game.
Even as a comparison at all.
Yeah. Like, don't include The Sims in a conversation about Rugrats Totally Angelica.
The game's not for us. It was made for babies.
Absolutely. Well, I tend to be the guy that tries and justifies games and like says, you know, good things and finds the good part in them. That's just sort of who I am. The list would have to be so long in my mind of things you would have to fix. Like, adding more games, changing those games completely so that they were actually like not just nothing. Like it just, it's more work to fix this game than it is to just scrap it. And so I don't know. I'm with you. I feel like it's a stretch to even scrap try and redeem it.
Thank you guys for sending in your thoughts. Each and every week, you can do the same by sending your commentary on the Retro Game of the Week to ngppodcast@gmail.com, and we'll read it on air if you send it in. But for now, it's time to randomly select the next Retro Game of the Week from our Retro Master list, which can be found on our website or on any of our social media handles. You'll be able to find a massive list of 1,000-plus games that are 15 years old or older. And from that list, we are randomly selecting what game we are going to be playing for the next 7 days.
Yes.
Moving from the Game Boy Color and the PlayStation 1 to the greatest console of all time, and that is the PC.
That's a statement.
It is a 1995 point-and-click adventure game.
I'm out.
Developed by the Dreamers Guild.
Of course.
Yeah, we all know about them.
And published by Cyber Dreams, Night Drive Studios, and Acclaim Entertainment.
Okay, I know one of those.
It has the player interact with the game by making decisions through ethical dilemmas that deal with issues such as insanity, rape, paranoia, and genocide.
Ooh. What?
Heavy.
Whoa.
The game. We're going from a kid's game to this. Kids, close your ears. We're playing I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream.
Oh.
That just sounds intense.
Yeah, that title sounds terrifying.
Yeah, it does.
I think it's a book. I believe that it is a sci-fi dystopian book.
Who would do this?
It reminds me of that scene in The Matrix where his mouth gets like closed and he's trying to like holler. Yeah. And
holler?
Yeah.
It reminds me of when I have sleep paralysis at night and I'm screaming and no one can help me.
It's a short story first published in 1967. It sounds terrifying. It sounds interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Okay.
Get a copy of I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream and play along with us this next week. Only if you're 18 and older, though.
If you have no mouth but must type, you can join us in Discord. We have a thriving community in there. And if you go to ngppodcast.com, you can click on Join Us in Discord for free.
We want to say a special thanks to all of our patrons who support the ongoing work of us playing retro video games on patreon.com. It really is a cool community to be a part of. We've got some cool perks for you if you join that team. And we're just so thankful for all of them, especially for our producer level supporters, Bill, Dear Baby, Grim, Zach, and always Zion.
You can always follow us on our social media at Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, on our YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast. Our website, ngppodcast.com, will have all of those links and more. Listen to us on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate, and we apologize in advance. Join us next week as we play this terrifying game, I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. Until then, I'm still...
You stole mine. I was... Nah, man. Bye.
And this has been New Game Plus.
I had that loaded.